Tom mentioned just then about years ago when loads of us were going over to Florida, to America, to this revival that was going on over there in Pensacola. Who remembers that? The Pensacola revival. Do you remember that? That was absolutely awesome time, wasn't it, when this church, Brownsville Assemblies of God, they started to have these meetings, evangelistic and Holy Spirit meetings, and then, you know, they just kept going on and on and on and on and on every night for a few years, wasn't it? A couple of years. And, we, you know, loads of us went over there and experienced just the presence of God, the power of God and the love of God and the conviction of God. There was like holiness and cleanness just in the atmosphere. And you felt like you just wanted to repent as soon as you went. You know, we went with a bunch of pastors, and there was queues of people, thousands of people down the roads to get in. People queued to get into this church every day for years. And with a bunch of pastors, you get in the back door. If you've travelled from a different country, you get in the back door a little bit early. And I remember you were given ministry badges so you could pray for people. And I remember a ministry badge going on me, and I walked in the place and I sat there. And as the meeting started, I felt so convicted of my own sin. I remember reaching over and grabbing my ministry badge and sticking it in my pocket. I thought, there's no way I'm going to pray for anyone. I'm going forward for me. I'm going forward to repent and get saved. Get saved again. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to be able to just get clean and come to God again and come to God again. Tom said about hungry hearts. If we have hungry hearts, God will meet us, won't he? If we're just simple like kids and come to him, he meets us, he loves us, he absolutely loves us, and is willing to meet with us if we're willing to meet with him. And, you know, Christianity isn't rocket science. It's very simple. Offensively simple, actually. Deliberately simple. Jesus made the gospel so simple that it would offend the clever and the wise and meet everyone's needs. And I just want to share with you a couple of thoughts and this morning from, you know, one of the most famous passages definitely in the Bible, and that's the story of the prodigal son. You know, it was a time when Jesus was telling a story to the guys who were around him. It says this in Luke 15, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered round to hear Jesus." It's interesting, bad people liked being near to Jesus. That tells you something about Jesus. There was no condemnation in him of people. There wasn't. You know, I know someone who travelled around the world, loads of different nations, and someone said to him, "Did you meet lots of good people and bad people when you travelled?" He said, "No, just people." There isn't good people and bad people. The line between good and bad runs right through the middle of all of us. We're just people. And God just loves people as people. Jesus just loves people. He doesn't need anyone to explain who we are, how bad we are. He knows already. Someone said, "God's never disillusioned with us because he was never under any illusion in the first place. He just knows us as we are." And if we face ourselves as we are, that's when we really meet with God and stuff happens. And you know, there's these two sons in this story. He tells the story of these two sons. One son goes off and does his own thing and ends up in a pigsty, feeding on the pig's food, just living in filth. There are millions of people in the UK living exactly like this right now. And we can live like this. We can feed on the devil's food if we want. We can feed in the pig's will of life, of sin. We can. It's easy done. It's readily available to us on the television and in the internet and everywhere around us all day long. There's filth available. You can partake if you want. But, you know, this lad looking for pleasure, looking for life, looking for joy. The irony is you never find it, do you? You never find happiness when you're searching for pleasure. You never find happiness when you're searching for pleasure. It just doesn't happen. When you pursue pleasure, you end up a slave. It's true. And this lad realized, he came to his senses. And it's interesting, in the story, Jesus says this lad came to his senses. And it was interesting how he came to his senses. He didn't think about his father. He didn't. He looked at his father's servants and came to his senses. He started thinking about them. Look at the life they've got. Look at the life I've got. I'm dying. I'm starving. I'm in filth. Look at the life they've got. The father's servants. And you know, that's one of the great ways you come to your senses. You look at people who knock around in God's house and with God, and you think they've got the good life. They have. We've got the good life, haven't we? If you're a believer, you've got the good life. You've got the best marriages. Hey, they're not perfect. But there's more chance of you staying together with Jesus. There's more chance of you making a success of your family and your life and your, with Jesus Christ than with anyone else. Than left on your own. We end up with the good life. Not only do we get heaven when we die, but you have God to help you every single day. You get God's help. People talk about that as though it's a weakness, or it's a strength. You know, people say, oh, you know, you Christians, you need a crutch. You need a crutch. And I usually say to them, look at me, do I look as though I need a crutch? I don't need a crutch, I need a stretcher. I need more than a crutch. I need help. I need God. I need salvation every day of my life, don't you? But when you're big enough to face that and realize I do need God, I do need help, that's when you get his help and you get the good life. Everything starts going up. Even with sorrow and trouble and pain and illness, it's mixed in with a lot of love and joy and help and forgiveness and the hope of heaven at the end. It is. It's the good life. This guy came to his senses by looking at the father's servants. He said, look what they're eating. Look how they're living. And he came home and he thought, I'll be like one of them. He imagined what it would be like to be in the father's embrace, to be in the father's house. And he got a shock because it was much better. He thought, I'm going to be a servant. I want to be a servant. Let me just be a servant. But actually, you know, when you come to God, you get something miles better, don't you? You do. You get something much more intimate. God's plan isn't to have a load of servants. It's to have a load of sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. His plan is for us to become like Jesus and literally become full of power and glory and life and resurrection. He's going to raise us from the dead. It's absolutely awesome. You know, God's plan is for us to be like him. And this guy came back to his father and expected one thing and got something much, much better. You know, Tony Campolo tells a story about one day he was on a plane in America and it was a short flight and there was a little girl in front of them. She was all done up in ribbons and bows and she was jumping up and down on the plane singing, I'm going to see Daddy, I'm going to see Daddy, and driving everyone mad. And she was drinking Coke and eating cookies and drinking Coke. But it was a turbulent flight. And in the end, all of these cookies and Coke decided to come back out of this little girl, and her dress was covered in sick. And he said it absolutely stank, and everyone was leaning away from her, and they couldn't wait till the plane taxied down the runway and the door opened and they got some fresh air and it got out on the tarmac. And as he was going through the exit of the airport, he walked out, and there was a guy there in a Hawaiian shirt and a white suit with a little doll in his arms. And he thought, I know who that is. It's Daddy. And he thought, I'm just going to hang around. I want to see this. He wanted to watch the encounter between Daddy and Vomit Face. And what happened blew him away. The little girl comes out, still covered in sick, runs up to her dad. Her dad's all white and clean and all that. And he doesn't flinch. He wraps her up in his arms and kisses her and loves her and gives her the doll and walks off as though there's no sick there. And Campolo felt God speak to him right then. And he said, that's how I love you. There's vomit in your life. But you know what? God sees through the vomit to who we can be in Christ. He does. And the amazing thing is, if you come to the Father, he just embraces you. This lad did not expect the Father to see him, run, embrace him, kiss him. He expected to become a servant, not to get this 5-star treatment. But that's what you get with Jesus. That's how good God is. He just is. You come to him, that's what you get. Awesome love, like that. And it says that the father then started changing him straight away. Straight away, he covers him. He covers his filth. He covers his shame. He covers his nakedness. That's Christianity. That's how it works. You just get it for free. It's free. That's what makes Christianity different from religion. Religion, you work for it. Christianity, you just receive it. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift to those who are willing to receive it. That's why it's such good news. It's a gift. Have you received this gift? Are you clothed? Have you been clothed by the Father or not? You know, it's the 10K race in Middlesbrough today. We live right in the middle of where they run around this. You know, it's hilarious. Well, it's not hilarious. It's probably really good, just I'm not a very fit person. So you always mock things that you can't do yourself, don't you? So I'm always driving down the road saying, look at them running. What they're running for? Then looking at my belly thinking. But and they're all running around our house, you know, they run around. So on the day of the 10K race, which is always a Sunday every year, and it always causes us problems, they'll block off all the roads. We can't get to church. We have to park outside this race, walk back to the house on a night, then this morning get up, walk with all the kids down the road through the race line to get to the car. So it's a bit of a pain, you know. But in the days before the 10K race, I used to sometimes do half marathons not in Middlesbrough. And when I was younger, I had a mate of mine called Steve White. And he went in for one of these marathons, half marathons. It was a bit of a joke because he wasn't fit. He looked fit. He was tall and skinny, but he wasn't because he had one lung. He was born with one lung. He couldn't run at all. But he went in just for a laugh, him and his mate. And this is a true story. So my mate Steve starts off running with his mate and stopping a bit and talking and laughing and chatting and running a little bit more. And then, you know, he can't run, so he's struggling and he stops. And then as he's starts getting round, and they were going round this circuit twice, right round past Stewart's Park, back down Martin Road, and it was at Clerval Stadium, and then back to Clerval Stadium, and then round twice. Anyways, they're coming round once, and he took absolutely ages to do it, you know. As he was coming round once, his mate had ran off and left him ages ago, because he got bored, and Steve thought, I'm absolutely shattered, I'm going home, I've had enough. So he was walking along, just walking back to get his bag. This is the true story. And he walks towards Clerval Stadium. And as he gets closer to the stadium, there's some people along the side of the road encouraging the runners. And they start to encourage him. Go on, son, keep going. Because he can see he's like embarrassed. So he starts running. He starts running, even though his lung's killing him. He's so embarrassed. He's only 16-year-old. They just didn't dare stop. And they're going, go on, son, go on. And he thinks, I'm only going for my bag. And he turns into Clerval Stadium just to get his bag and go home. But they think he's in the front. Everyone else has been round twice and they're catching him up. They think he's the winner of this race. This is true. And everyone starts going, go on, go on. And Steve's thinking, but they're enthusiastic. What's this about? And he runs into Clerval Stadium. And just he wants to go to the change rooms to get his bag, but everyone's pushed him down this funnel. Go on, go on. And they push him this way. And he comes out on the track. And there's all these people. Yay! And he was so embarrassed, he didn't dare do anything else. He ran around the track once, even though it was killing him, and won. He gets given this cup and everything. This other guy who's actually won and comes in and thinks, where did he come from? And do you know what? I wouldn't have believed that story, but he showed me the Gazette clipping. And I know he can't run. I know he's got one lung. He stood there with a cup. And you know what? That's like Christianity. You can't do it. You're not qualified. You don't do it, but you win anyway. It is. It's just a gift to people who are absolutely unqualified. You get heaven not because you deserve it. You get heaven not because you've earned it. Not because didn't you run a good life? Wasn't I just like Mother Teresa? No, we're not like Mother Teresa. We're just us. But you get heaven because someone else has already bought the cup for you. The difference between Christianity and Steve's race is that You get the cup the minute you walk in the changing room to start the race. You do. Christianity is a total gift. It is. Do you know that? You do know, don't you, that you receive the gift of salvation the instant you believe in Jesus. And you never lose that. Christianity works like this. Imagine you were taking your driving test. And imagine if you could only take one driving test in your life. And if you get it wrong, that's it. You're on Arriva buses forever. Imagine the pressure. And you're going to your driving test and you're sweating. And you're wondering how you're going to do. And it's all the pressure's on you to get it right. And you open the car door and you look at the instructor. And he looks like a right stickler for the law. He's got his glasses on. He's writing something on his pad. Doesn't even look at you. Morning. Say, morning. You're nervous and scared. Get in. And he's writing something on his pad. And when he's finished writing, he rips it off and goes, there you are, Mr. Ruddick. You've passed. And you say, but I haven't done anything yet. And he says, I know. It's good, isn't it? Welcome to the kingdom of God. That's Christianity. That's how it works. The minute you get in the car with Jesus, you go to heaven. You've passed. You're in. Because it's a gift. And then you drive. And do you drive better? Yeah, you do. Right, Martin, take us through the next 50 years, will you? With pleasure. With pleasure. Why? Because I've got the pass certificate right here. That's why. Because no matter how I drive, and I might drive well some years and not so well others, haven't you? Hello? Anyone been a Christian more than a few months? Anyone blown it as a Christian? Yeah. But the awesome news is this. My salvation was given to me when I was an 18-year-old punk rocker. The moment I came to the cross in Middlesbrough, on my knees in my own bedroom. That's the salvation that I'm going to enjoy fully, 1 second after I dropped dead, was given to me years ago. Years ago. It is nothing to do with my performance. Nothing. And when you know that, you drive better. You live a Christian life better because the pressure's off you. And you know you're loved and you've won no matter what. That's just a fact. That's how Christianity works. You're clothed with clothing that's just the best. And it's not yours. That's what happened to this lad. And then there's the other lad, the other son, who's the religious one. Religion is a funny thing, isn't it? This is the second son who we don't talk about much, but we should. The second son is the one who lives in the Father's presence. He's in close to the Father, but not that close, actually. Not close to his heart. He's full of anger. He's full of bitterness. He's full of resentment. Oh, he's religious, all right. He's the good lad. He's the lad who's never done anything wrong, who's never left home, who's always stuck with church, who's always... But his heart is as far away from his father as the young son. He's miles away. All these years I've worked for you. That's what's in his heart. Is that you? Is that you this morning? Are you religious? Religiously doing the right thing, but you're miles away from the father's heart? You're just going through the motions. You're just doing the stuff. You know you are, and it's just like hard work. Religion never produces God's will. It doesn't. It makes people angry. People often say to me, I want now to do with religion. Religion's caused all the wars in the world. Do you know what? They're almost right. They're almost right. Religion causes a lot of wars. And if you look around the world today, the people who are most filled with hate are very religious. They're very religious people. But they're full of hell, actually. And Jesus can't stand religion. The people who persecuted Jesus were the most religious people of all. The people who kept the law and did the tithing and went to this temple, and they hated Jesus. They couldn't stand him. And it's like that today. Real Christianity is not religion. It's nothing to do with religion. It actually works the opposite of religion. Religion is man seeking God. Christianity is God seeking man. Religion is man building a bridge to God through his own good works. Christianity is God building a bridge to man in 6 hours through the cross. It's the opposite. I was on a plane once going to Kazakhstan, which is just south of Doncaster. And there was me and a young lad who was travelling with me. And there was a spare seat next to us. We had a little prayer in the airport, in Heathrow Airport. Lord, please let someone sit next to us who we can talk to about you. And he really answered that prayer. I sat next to this guy who was a minister in the government of Tajikistan, a Muslim called Asif, and he was responsible for human rights in the government of Tajikistan. And we got on like a house on fire. He had a really good sense of humour. He was a New Yorker, born and brought up in New York. All his family had been thrown out of New York after, 9/11, because his family were militant Muslims. He wasn't, but they were. And all his family were thrown out of America. And he was now working for the Tajikistan government. We got chatting together and he had a good sense of humour. We were having a real good laugh. It's about a 5 or 6 hour flight to Kazakhstan, so we had plenty of time. After about an hour of chatting and laughing and stuff, he said, "So what do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a minister as well." "Really? Yeah." I said, "I'm a minister for Jesus Christ." I said, "I'm an evangelist." I said, "I tell people about the love of Jesus." And the Muslim shutter came down like that. And for about the next hour, we had the typical Muslim-Christian debate. You say that. And just, getting nowhere. But the good thing was, it was a long flight. And we actually liked each other. So after a couple of more coffees and a couple of more hours, he was warming up a bit again and the shutters sort of melted a bit. And we were chatting and I knew a little bit about Tajikistan. I knew that if he worked with human rights, people who have human rights violated, he must be working with Christians, with pastors who get the churches burnt down and Christians who are thrown out of the houses. And I said, "Asif, if you work with human rights issues in Tajikistan, you must work with pastors from churches, don't you?" And he gave like a little cheeky smile and said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "Isn't that irony, Asif?" I said, "Here you are. You spend your whole life working with our lot." I said, "Isn't that funny?" He said, "Yeah, it is really." I said, "Come on, Asif, you know Christians then. What's the difference? What's the difference between you and me?" And you know what? In a moment where he was just absolutely honest, priceless sentence to me, he said, "Yeah, Martin, do you know what? There is a difference. All these pastors I work with, they're just like you. You're all the same, you Christians. You're full of love." He said, "That's the difference between you and me." He said, "You Christians carry your message with love, and we don't." I thought, I'm writing that down. He was awesome. Gave me his email. Wanted to know more, actually, about Jesus. Because religion cannot produce love in the human heart. It can't. The religious, if you're religious, this is a sign. Here's a little test to see if you're religious, and then we're going to pray that you get free from it. If you're religious, you look down on other people. You judge other people. You feel, even though you might not say it, you feel a little bit better than other people. You're religious. You've become religious. It easily happens to believe as it happens. If you're religious, you get aggravated by little things. You don't like people having a different view from you. And you get angry. If you're religious, you're an angry person. You can be a marvellous believer in church, but be angry at home, angry with yourself, a little bit angry with God, angry with other believers. You delight in nitpicking and looking round, and you despise other expressions of Christianity, and you think you're just a little bit better. Have a little bit more of the truth. Have a little bit more. You're becoming religious. Shake it off today. Shake it off. Shake off that pride. Come like a little child to Daddy's love again this morning. You know, and it says, it's beautiful this. It says the father pleaded with him. "Please, son." He pleaded with the other son. "Please, son, come in. Come into the party. Your brother's come home. He was dead and he's alive. He has wrecked his life, but you know what? I don't care. I love him anyway. I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to make him new. Will he let me do the same for you? Come in, son. But I've been doing right. I've been doing right. Please, son. Just come into the party. Jesus said to the disciples who started getting clever, the 12, when they were just arguing about who was best. Oh, it's embarrassing, isn't it? But thank you, Lord, that it got wrote down, because they're just like us, arguing about who was best. No, I think I healed them better than you. No, I think I healed them. And Jesus embarrassingly heard them and said to them, do you know what, guys? I'm telling you now, unless you change and become like little children, not even children, little children, you're not even going to get in the kingdom of heaven. I think that put an end to their arguments. Are you like a little child today? Or have you got too clever for that? You're too well read for that? You're too much theology for that? You're too educated for that? Actually, looking at this crowd, probably not. You're probably all right. But why don't we stand and pray? We're just going to... I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to the Father and just receive his love and a blessing and a touch from God this morning. Maybe you know what? Maybe you all know the Lord, and you probably do, and that's great. But the Father wants to embrace you. Father wants to brush off religion from you. He wants to say to your son, everything I have is yours. Come and use it. Come and have it. Come and be with me again. And maybe Jason could just play something for us. Thank you, brother. And if you want a touch from the Lord and you want to receive the Father's love and his embrace, or maybe you know what? You know that you look nice and clean on the outside this morning, but there's a pigsty that you keep going back to and feeding on, you know, pornography or anger or, you know, a bottle of wine when no one's looking, or, you know, there's something that you know is unclean. The Lord doesn't want you to do it, but you keep going back to it. You know, whatever it is, listen, God loves you. There's not an ounce of condemnation in him. He knows all about you. There's none of us any different from anyone else. No one. You know, when we work in the prison with the prisoners, the most vulnerable prisoners, you know the difference between them and us, don't you? No, neither do I. Because there isn't one. We're just people. God loves people. Come as a little child and let him touch you, wash you, fill you this morning and set you on fire. Because wouldn't it be awesome to have a Pensacola revival here? Wouldn't it be awesome if these meetings just went on and on and on every night? And more people, why not? Why not? Do you know how it started? You've seen the early videos of that. There's not a lot of people in that church. There's a load of empty seats. But the people who were there kept coming forward and receiving more. And receiving more. Hey, he's the same God. It's the same gospel. Can happen here. Why not? Father, we just thank you. We need you. We want you more, Lord. Renew that hunger that Tom mentioned earlier. I think that was prophetic when Tom mentioned that. Renew that hunger in our hearts to know your touch and your love, Lord. Renew the energy, Lord. Where we've got tired, where we've been disappointed, where we've been working in your field all our life and we haven't seen much reward. Lord, take it away. Let us be like little kids again. Any minute now, we're going to heaven. Any minute now, we're not going to be here. We're going to be with Daddy, and it's going to be awesome forever. It's true. It's real. Lord, we've got nothing to lose in these last few years before we go or you come. There's nothing to lose. Help us risk it all. In Jesus' name. Jason's going to sing, and if you want to come and receive something from your Father, come and receive it. Come and say, I'm coming into the party again. I'm coming in. If that's you, come and line up at the front and we'll pray for you. Or if you're on the ministry team and you'd like to come and receive something this morning, you come. Me and Chris will pray for you so you can receive something this morning as well. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.